Morning again. Gracious Father, we just, again, just come to you looking to, or seeking to hear from you. And I've got words prepared and I've got things that I have in my mind to say, but even if I say something and you change it as it floats through the air to our ears, I just want you to do that. And just pray that this is about you and about you being glorified, you being honored, and for our lives to be changed, to know you better and to connect with you on a more deeper, on a more intimate level. And we just pray in this, for this time in the few moments to come, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, because I just want to jump right in and I don't want to keep you any longer than, you know, whatever, we're going to jump right in. And so this morning, we're continuing our sermon series on starting point and what that looks like to have a starting point in life, in faith especially. You know, I've talked about how we all had a starting point. We, you know, at some point in time down the road, we began, and our lives began, and things continued. And, you know, relationships began, romances and marriages and careers and occupations and, you know, moves and different things. All these different kinds of things have a starting point. And the thing about faith is faith has a starting point as well, is sometimes we don't look at it with the same purpose. That's who God was talking about. But the Muslims are also saying, no, wait. All of these Arab countries, all of us, we are those great nations that God had promised to Abraham. And as Christians, we can talk about that more spiritually, probably, obviously. But we would say, well, yeah, as the kingdom of God, we are that great nation. And so if nothing else, no matter what angle you look at this, God's promise came true. Second promise, he says, I will, and God says, I will bless you and make your name great. Right? We've all heard of Abraham. Okay, this isn't a fair context to ask that in. Right? But you can go out and you can wander around. Most people, especially a certain age, because our culture is so different now, the younger generations tend not to know as much of this stuff. A lot of people know who Abraham is. They know at least something about him. If nothing else, they can, you know, shake their right hand and their left hand and all, right? Father, that's the song. Okay, that wasn't very clear. All right. Most people know the name Abraham. And I would say, especially if we go back, you know, 50, 100 years, even in our culture, Abraham was a very prominent name. We know who he was. So in so many ways, that promise was fulfilled as well. And the third promise, verse 3 here, God says, so that you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And maybe not as clear, but I would say this is definitely true as well, is that those that have a faith that comes and flows through Abraham have certainly blessed this world. And even we can look at Muslims and Jews throughout history. And, you know, obviously there are Jews and Muslims and Christians that have made terrible choices and not been a blessing. But so often they're a blessing. We can look at Christians in our own country and the so many hospitals that were started, orphanages, it's a hard word, places where they take care of children, orphanages, shouldn't have tried it again. All right, all these different things that the church and Christians are doing for our world come directly from this promise that God made to Abraham. I will bless you, you will be a blessing. And so Abraham takes all these promises, takes all of this thing, these things that God has said to him and promised him and those kind of things, and he goes and he starts living this life. Well, as if you know the story, obviously it doesn't happen right away, right? And a great nation takes more than a couple days to make, right? Kind of a thing. But Abraham gets impatient and he starts to get frustrated. You know, obviously we know the choices that he made with Sarah giving her handmaiden Hagar to Abraham to have a child by, which is where Ishmael comes from. And all of these things, and he starts to get impatient. And so we see this over and over again, but specifically looking at Genesis 15, we see Abraham starting to question and doubt these promises, start to question and doubt where he's at. And so God steps in and he says, okay, here's what I want you to do. And so God brought him out, verse 5, I believe, 15:5. God brought him outside. And he said, look toward the heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And I know we can do that a little better than like downtown Chicago or St. Louis or something. You know, we can look up to the night sky and we can just see, you know, on a clear night, just so many stars. In fact, it kind of amazes me, and I haven't done this for a while, but when you look up, you only kind of see like two or three or four right away, right? It takes a while for your eyes to adjust, and then slowly your eyes start to see, oh, no, there's a few more, and then there's the moving one, but that's you know, airplane or something. But then you have all these stars that you're looking up, and just imagine the awe and the, I don't know, goosebumps that Abraham experiences and says, yeah, I want that. And God reminds him of the promises he made. And then in verse 6, we see Abraham's response. And Abraham believed the Lord. And God counted to him as righteous. And what's amazing about that is that's really the starting point of their relationship in a lot of ways. Because that word righteousness really just means having a right standing, a right relationship, a right dynamic between God and Abraham. And it's interesting where that righteousness comes from, because we can talk a lot about, in the Paul in the New Testament talks a lot about where that righteousness comes from. Where does that righteousness come from? How do we have a right relationship with God? How do we come into that connection with Him in our, you know, idea of the starting point of our faith framework of how we move into our journey of faith? And it looks like, at least for Abraham, it became because he believed. And it just seems too simple, right? It can't be just that he believed. It can't be just that he, you know, knew or understood something or whatever. And it's not, right? We understand that that word believed isn't just a cognitive thing. It's not just, oh, he believed and he knew this was going to happen and these kind of things. There's more to it in the word itself. And in fact, I would say, and not that this is a terrible translation, but when I looked up that word believed, it's much more than just a cognitive understanding and, you know, belief that something is true. In fact, it had this connotation of confirmation, an idea of support, being faithful, and this word trust. And so when he believed, when Abraham believed the Lord, there's this element, what I define it as faith. And faith for me is that belief. It's that cognitive understanding that God is who he said he is. And he's done these things, and he's, you know, we can believe the stories that we read and the things that God has done in our world and that he promises to do. And so that can stay in the head. And so there is that head belief knowledge. But the other side of faith is trust. And when we trust God, when we trust someone else, we do something with that. And it's not just doing to do. It comes from somewhere inside of us. It comes from our heart. It comes from our soul that we're going to respond to what we believe and know by doing something with that. Abraham left his family. Abraham chose different times to express that faith in different ways. And we're called to do the same thing. That faith isn't, again, it's that all knowledge, it's that understanding, it's that cognitive thing, but it's also putting that into action in some way. And not just doing to do, but doing because that's where our heart is. Because that's what we have inside of us. And that's really, again, the essence of the distinction between all the three religions, or the other two faith religions, or faith traditions. Christians and Christianity, followers of Jesus, live this out from the inside out rather than maybe the outside in. And so when we look at the starting point of our faith and we ask the question, who is Jesus? There's obviously the element of believing, right? We have to believe in our heads, in our minds, and ultimately, I guess, in our hearts, that Jesus is who he said he was. That he was the Messiah, that he's the Son of God, that he died on a cross, rose from the dead, and that he's made promises to come back and to bring us back into that full union with him, and he made a way, a pathway for us to be with God. But then there's the element of trust. Now, from the inside out, are we doing things, are we practicing things that faith is expressed, that belief is expressed in tangible ways? I've learned, and I don't know if you guys experience this or see this as much, I have learned that the Christian church, the churches of Christ, our background, have a stigma, maybe is not the right word, but we're viewed from a lot of different other denominations as focusing a lot on baptism. And that's fair. I think that that's, I don't think there's anything terribly wrong with it, but I also feel like there's a certain amount of explanation that needs to go with that. But I think baptism, and one of the reasons we emphasize and talk about baptism, or have talked about baptism so much, is because that's just an immediate process of this faith. It's an immediate saying, okay, I believe this. And the confession of faith, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I trust him as my Lord and Savior. Well, it takes a little bit of trust to go into this water, to do this odd, confusing, ancient act of allowing someone that you maybe don't even know that well to dunk you underwater and to not leave you there and to bring you back up, right? And it's maybe a simple act of trust, maybe a simple process with that, but I feel like that's why, at least one of the reasons, I think there's more to it, but at least one of the reasons why baptism is important. But it doesn't stop with baptism. It continues into our day-to-day, moment-by-moment, word-by-word, action-by-action life. And so when we look at this idea of righteousness, we understand that this is the idea of where God meets us. And when we look at this sea of glass, sea of ceramics, sea of plates and glasses and everything else, this world that we live in that is just cutting our legs and nearly impossible, really impossible for us to get out on our own. God looked at that sea of glass, that 10-year-old, that 5-year-old, that 40, that 80-year-old, standing in that mess and said, I'm not going to leave you there. Can't leave you there. I'm going to do something to get you out of that mess. And again, I think that's where one of the main places that these faith traditions diverge is that our response to that isn't, okay, I'll clear off this little bit and you clear off, we'll meet in the middle kind of a thing, or, you know, I'll jump and you catch me as I get out of this mess, or anything on my part. Where the faith in Jesus and what Jesus has done for us really hits home is that God has already taken care of all that work. And all he asks us to do is, as he approaches us, as he draws near to us, is just climb on his back so that he can bring us out of that mess. And so what if the starting point of faith was really that trust with that belief? What if it's really that simple? And not about all the acts and all the works and all the behavior, but it's about trusting that he's going to do what he said he would do. And so what I want you to do and challenge you to do as we close this morning is just talk about this a little bit. And I know most of us are kind of at this in a lot of the same boat, in the same position with a lot of these things. But I feel like we also need to figure out, what does this look like exactly? Because I think our starting point, maybe we look back to the faith framework we were handed as a kid and maybe we grew up in, and we think there's a lot more to it than, no, I'm just going to trust and believe. And so my question that I want to leave you with as you talk with your spouse or you go for lunch or whatever is this: which of the following best reflects your view and why? Is it that God accepts me and you based upon my birth, my behavior, or my belief? Or is it some combination of the above? Which of those things are really the reason that God accepts me? Because I feel like, and I think, especially my experience growing up has been, it was more complicated than it needed to be, if I want to say it that way. And so I really challenge you this week to spend some time to think about how does God accept me? And that right relationship, that righteousness that he brought, that he called Abraham to. So take some time. God accepts me. My birth, my behavior, my belief. or some combination of the above. Let's pray. Gracious Father, again, we thank you so much for the start of our faith and the stories that have been preserved for so long, and just how fascinating and interesting it is that so many look to Abraham as the start of their faith, but it's not the end of the faith, though, either. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we walk through the next week, 2 weeks, month, year, that we really look to you as the way that we express and know our faith, and that it's not as complicated, maybe, as we sometimes make it out. And I pray this all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Worship team can come on up. And we're just going to respond. And whatever that looks like for you, whether that's coming up here and me praying for you or sharing something, or whether it's sitting or standing where you're at and praying or thinking something, or maybe it's making a decision saying, yeah, I believe, and I want to trust you, and I'm going to say, if nothing else, maybe one of the simplest ways that we can express that trust is to accept baptism as a part of that faith tradition as well. Let's stand and let's sing all to Jesus.